We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get balded, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show, and it is great to be with you. Paul Imig and Grant Bills will join us for most of this episode. Just wanted to do a couple of things quick before we got started with that. The in-season tournament matchup, as we knew yesterday, is set between the Bucks and the Knicks. The time is final. It's on Tuesday. Perfect. It's on Tuesday, 6:30 Milwaukee time. The Bucks play the Knicks. I did stay up for that Warriors-Kings game. The Warriors need to win by 12 to get in. Someday I want a Bucks-Warriors final of something, and I thought this might be it. But it wasn't, because then the Kings came back, closed the deficit, but then, you know, they also won. So what the schedule is next Tuesday is Bucks and Knicks at 6:30, and then Suns and Lakers after that. The Monday games are Celtics Pacers and Pelicans Kings. So that makes sense. The Eastern Conference games first, and then the Western later. I think when it gets to Thursday, I think they're going to go better matchup later at night, because the game's in Vegas. They're all being Vegas. I don't know that it matters, unless you're thinking of home markets. So on Thursday, there's a game at 4 and there's a game at 8. I got to work Thursday, so I hope they play the game at 8 so I can, you know, do the post-game show and not unless maybe I'll put in a call to the CBS bosses. Hey, I can't do the shift on the national radio, 150-plus affiliates. I have to do a in-season tournament post-game show. And they'll probably say, Yeah, we actually know that, and we're going to tell you, because the in-season tournament is a big deal, and if you're not on board with it yet, you're just a crusty old douchebag that should be in music radio, if any at all, KB. I'm sorry, I had something in my throat. So I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how things play out. I hope they get in that final. I want to do something fun with that. That final is going to be the only game that's taking place on Saturday. So it should be pretty cool. I think that this is working better than it should. You know, I think it's pretty funny. A guy like Jason Tatum didn't like it. Didn't like running up the score. Didn't think that was appropriate. And then the Celtics had to run up the score to get in. Not only could the Bucks play the Celtics, we talked about this on the post-game show. Not only could they play the Celtics if they both win, if they both lose, they're going to need another regular season game. So I think they're just taking the losers, or they could do like the loser of the Western plays the loser of the Eastern. They could do something like that. I guess I don't know and haven't seen, but there's a couple possibilities. I think they could end up playing Boston. If you look at some of the other teams, their schedule got released too. So it's not just the in-season tournament next week. The nights that the in-season tournament is happening, Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday, only in-season tournament games will be played those days. The other 2 days, Wednesday and Friday, there will be other games. If you look at a team like the Sixers, they have the Wizards got scheduled, and then the Hawks got scheduled. So you could actually, let's say you assume and give the Sixers those two wins, there could be some things down the line. And I don't know, this is very speculative, where it's like, well, we should have one more win than them, or we're one game behind them in the standings because we played in the in-season tournament, lost, and they played in the they didn't play in the in-season tournament and got easy wins. But I guess we got those wins that counted. I don't know. It's a whole thing. I'm just excited that it exists and that it hasn't sucked. And I was very critical of it because I think Silver still is trying to make something that he doesn't have the infrastructure for. But the teams seem to have bought in, and that means the fans buy in. If the teams didn't care, if the teams didn't show any hustle, if the teams weren't talking about it, if they were very flippant about it, if they rest people like on purpose in these games, then you wouldn't care. But the teams seem to care, so we get into it. And it's another thing. Like, this is Broadway. Why do I always use Broadway comparisons with the Bucks? I've never even been to Broadway. But this is Broadway. The in-season tournament is Broadway. Okay, if you go to New York City, you want to see a show on Broadway. There's off-Broadway, and there's probably good shows there. But you want to see a show on Broadway, and you want to perform in the show on Broadway. Okay, that's what you want to do. The other thing you want to do is go to omahasteaks.com. They are on board for Christmas, so hopefully you are able to pick some of these steaks up if you can, or whether it's the filet mignons or the pork tenderloins or whatever they have available. We are doing a package again for Christmas and just for the holiday season here. They have 50% off store-wide right now, and then when you use BART at checkout, it's $30 off your order. So you can do that. You can just go to the website too and type my name in the search bar to get the deal. It's pretty great. They've got 50% off everything in the store. Then you can type my name in. You get the $30 off as well on your package. It is really neat. You get the top sirloins, the pork chops, the jumbo franks, potatoes, apple tartlets. This is a great way to, you know, cook around the things. cook around the Christmas holiday and have something to cook and have something really good, something really festive for the season. OmahaSteaks.com, BART in the search bar. Since I'm doing some housekeeping here, I do want to thank everybody, first of all, that listens, and then second of all, that listens a lot. I recorded this around 4 o'clock on Wednesday, so if anybody else did it after that, I'll give you a shout-out when I can. Joey has listened. The Spotify rap thing, I thought it was dumb, too, years ago. Until, like, I had a show that people were tweeting about. Now I like it. No, that's not entirely the reason. But it's so believable of a reason that it seems like the reason. But that's not the reason. This is the first year I've been on Spotify. I've never joined it. I would always do Pandora. And then I would watch videos on YouTube instead of just making a playlist. I don't know why I was a Spotify holdout. Actually, my wife has it, and she just added me for free. Because, you know, you see a lot of these, and I used to be the guy like, oh, nobody cares about this. Well, I do. It's interesting to see what people are listening to. And it's cool to see all of you guys that have listened to the show. Joey, 7,000 minutes of the Bart Winkler Show. Lindsay, 12,000 minutes. Zach hit 16,000 minutes of the Bart Winkler Show. Zach Neal. Top 1% fan. I mean, that's really cool. Cameron with 7,800 minutes. Daniel, it's his top podcast. And then he's got Locked On Bucks on there. Eurostep podcast. A lot of the GSPN guys who we love. Eduardo, top podcast. 14,000 minutes. 3%. This is really cool. And I appreciate you guys for spreading the word, because I don't know. There's this Marvel podcast I listen to called Phase Zero, and I like it because they talk Marvel. It's just like nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes, Marvel. And I like that stuff, so I listen to it. But it's been going on for a while, and I didn't know it existed. So by you guys doing this, hopefully, you know, more people come on board if you're looking for kind of meat and potatoes sports kind of stuff. And that's where I should have transitioned into the Omaha Steak. Read. See, you're always learning. You're always learning. You're always growing. I don't expect. So I'm recording this at 4. Gonna pick up my kid. going to have a nice night with him and probably going to go to bed early. That, so if I don't expect there to be breaking Jackson Churio news, report from Ken Rosenthal, some sources confirmed by Kurt Hoag that this is what the Brewers want to do. They want to give him right now like 8 years for $80, $90 million. And there's been a lot of people talking about if they should do that or not, if Churio should do that or not. For the Brewers, if you believe in this guy and he's can't miss and he's been producing every level you put him at, this is absolutely something you want to do because the most affordable way to have this guy long-term. Yes, there is risk, as there is with anything, but the risk on this is far less than the reward. The reward is you could get this guy who could be commanding, if he stays on his trajectory, $30, $35 million a year, and you're paying him $10. You could get a guy who you could buy out his arbitration, buy into free agent years, you know, solve all of that. They did some sort of deal like this with Freddie. They've tried to do it, I guess, with other guys too. I think if the Brewers can do it, it's a no-brainer. The Braves have done this a little bit with their guys. And at first you're like, why are they doing that? Like Ronald Acuna is making $17 million next year to bypass arbitration, $17 million the year after that, $17 million the year after that, and then 2 years of club options for $17 million. $17 million a year for Ronald Acuna for the next 5 years, who's 26 years old? I mean, that is a steal. But Acuna did it to guarantee that money, to guarantee his financial security. And then by the time that runs out, he'll be 31. He could sign another deal. And if Churio does it now, he can sign another deal at 26. He's young. Churio's young. You're essentially giving a huge contract if you do it to a double-A guy. Ozzie Albies, second baseman, 27. $7 million this year, $7 million next year. 2 years of club options for $7 million after that. The Braves have done a good job. It's a good model where, you know, you do sacrifice, like, the risk of injury or him being bad or whatever. But my God, for the Brewers, it's a no-brainer. If you gave Yelich that much money, you give Churio this tinier amount of money. I don't think there's any discussion that needs to be had about should the Brewers. It's all should Churio is where the discussion is. That's where it all is. And we'll see what he decides. I think every Brewers fan wants it to happen. And that would be great. And it would signal like, okay, there's a new crop of Brewers here. I think you do that. You bring them up. You go completely with the young guys. Get them experience. Trade what you can, who you can, and go on from there. I don't think a lot of Brewers fans are going to walk into this year thinking playoffs. I think a lot of Brewers fans are going to walk into this year saying, we want to see the young guys. We want to see a new era. Just please never lose to the Cubs. Go 13-0 against them. That's what we want to see. Take a quick time out. Grant and Paul will be on the program coming up right after these messages.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
TIAA is on a mission. Why? Because 54% of Black Americans don't have enough savings to retire. So in collaboration with big name artists like Wyclef Jean, TIAA released Paper Right, new music inspiring a new financial future. With 100% of streaming sales going to a nonprofit that teaches students how to invest. Stream Paper Right now and help close the gap.
I bring in Grant Bills. I bring in Paul Imig. This trio that comes to you every week out of the goodness of their hearts. Because we used to rotate, and then Paul's just like, just do it with Grant.
That's what happened.
Just see if Grant will do it again. What about next week? Yeah, just, is Grant available?
And now one morning a week is just, it's so much better. I look for this as much social time as I really ever get. So you guys have been in my apartment more than anybody else. I mean, it's lovely. I love it.
Good.
Crazy.
I look forward to it.
And you guys happy in my Thursday. Basement. Yeah. Yeah. Happy Thursday.
Happy late Thanksgiving, by the way.
Happy late Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How many days is why don't we just do some questions?
Let's do it. How many days is too late to wish someone a happy Thanksgiving? I vote that Chris Berman was way too late with 4 days during Monday Night Football.
That's probably true.
I would say Larry Friday David. Even.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, I mean, Berman. All right.
It's Black Friday.
I like that ESPN created a show with Chris Berman and Booger McFarland, which I would have just titled The Last Fucking Thing I Will Ever Watch Ever. Period. It's like the perfect show that someone could have put together to make me never ever watch it would be those two guys.
Wow.
Now, NFL Brute. Primetime was the greatest show ever.
For sure. And that was in 1999. And
you had to watch it, though. That was the difference. You had to watch it. You had to because you didn't see or know much about the other games. And sometimes there'd be games on there where I'm like, oh shit, Broncos, Buccaneers. I've got no idea who won this game. And you would watch it. And then they had to take it away because NBC got the Sunday night rights. And part of that was like, we want football night in America to be where people come. Stop doing ESPN. Eventually, ESPN won back the ability to do primetime, but on ESPN Plus. So you can still watch it, but it's on ESPN Plus. And then they're like, they rip it off on Wednesdays. So they go, you have to watch it from Sunday to Wednesday, and then they just take it off their server. Which I think part of what is great about NFL primetime is like going back. I mean, when you see clips of like, hey, here's an episode of NFL primetime from 1997, you're like, the next hour of my life's spoken for.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN puts these new ones out and they're like, see ya.
See ya.
That is bizarre. Why are they in such a rush to get rid of them by Wednesday? That is weird.
Maybe it's more of a right thing. Maybe they're like, okay, but you got to get rid of it by Thursday. Like the NFL is very protective of the Sunday night football brand. Remember when you watched Eagles Bills and they made Jim Nantz every 3 minutes say, and don't forget, Chargers Ravens at 7:22.
I was going to ask you guys about that. Why was that? That was so weird.
Because people were watching CBS up until the minute that the NBC game kicked off because the game went so late, which murdered the number for football night in America because people are just used to, all right, this shit's over.
And then Tony Romo said,
I know who found a way to do their little The OT show sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. I just like that as Jim Nantz was like, all right, 7:22, get over to the other channel. Tony Romo was like, I know who pays my check. 60 Minutes is coming up next. Did you guys catch
that? Except on the West Coast, obviously. But it was bizarre. Like
he didn't say, I know who pays my check, but Tony Romo then said, or you can stick around and watch 60 Minutes right here on CBS.
It's weird that they were promoting another network, though. Like, I guess the NFL is a bigger body than interesting. All right.
Well, WWE does the same. Fox is always advertising Peacock.
There, for pay-per-views. I don't know much about wrestling, but I do know enough to understand that CM Punk fascinates me, by the way, and maybe you guys will talk about this at some point. As an athlete that's like biggest impact has never really been something, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been like the sport. Like it's very Aaron Rodgers these days, where it's like the story is not what's going, and Rodgers is hurt. So that's very different. And
CM Punk is always hurt, so it's okay.
But it's like, Bart, your tweet, I bookmarked it. I was like, is there something I can do with this on my show? Where it's like his biggest career moments have been a press conference and then like three comebacks to just switching leads back and forth.
Yeah. Very interesting. I really can't think off the top of my head of like one CM Punk match that I was like, oh, fuck.
No, there wasn't. I mean,
I know he's had a long thing with Samoa Joe. Maybe you want to go there. Or when The Undertaker killed his momentum, that was bullshit.
For me, it's the money in the Money in the Bank 2011 with John Cena, but that was because of the circumstances where it was like Cena wins and we riot. Like that was like one of those moments. And so I don't remember anything about the match, of course, because that's not what CM Punk does. But yes, Grant, Bart and I tested our friendship over the weekend. We put it to its I'm not kidding.
We had an art disagreement and I was drunk.
I could tell. In all seriousness, but it was like, but Rogers and CM Punk are the same thing.
I just told Paul how much I hate AEW and it's fucking
which is like me saying that Marvel is the worst thing. It's just it's a trigger and you know it's mean. And Bart was drunk and he's like, I'm just gonna be mean.
I said I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry while doing it though.
That doesn't count.
I said I'm sorry. I fucking hate the thing you like.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But yes, the press conference for Aaron. Travis Kelce would say of CM Punk, promos are his game days.
Yeah.
Oh, and Rogers is the one Punk match that I can think of is the Royal Rumble, but that was because he would knock guys out and just start talking again. Got rid of the first 10 people and was just talking the whole time.
Or I would say it's his match with Hangman Page where he could not do the Buckshot Lariat and kept trying and kept trying and kept failing and kept failing. All right, let's move on.
Anyway, he's back and his promo was disappointing.
Yeah. All right, we have some fun stuff to get through, and I am so excited. Well, let me ask you this first. Have the Winklerverse, those who have been like rooting for Packers losses, which again, had the Chargers game gone the other way, I was flirting with the line of like rooting for Packers law. I was probably more than flirting with it, but have they come around to like the wins are good? Are we there yet with the Winklerverse? Like,
I think they've come around to knowing that it's a lost cause
to root against. Like, it's just not going to happen. So why do it?
The idea of losing is a lost cause. That's kind
of the idea of, you know, getting one of these great picks. Now,
yeah,
as you look at the standings and the Packers are a half game out.
So here we go. You are ready to embrace the real possibility of the Packers making the playoffs. And I'm going to, before you answer, I'm going to say, like, Bart, you have said you haven't been thinking about the draft. You haven't been thinking about the playoffs. You just want to see progression from Jordan Love, the young guys to get better, blah, 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 blah. So you in particular, I think this is a relevant question too, but in general, the Vikings lost. Who is it that plays? The Seahawks play on Thursday Night Football, which I think is tonight as you're listening to this. If they lose, like, this is you are ready to embrace the real possibility of the Packers playing a playoff football game this season. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, I think they're going to beat the Chiefs. And I said that about the Lions, and people are like, good job. And I was like, I just said one thing, and I put no money on it, and I didn't make him my survivor. Fucking Saints. Never get over that. I was going to take the Vikings. Thankfully, I did not. Mm. I did tweet that I thought Justin Fields would have 4 touchdowns that night.
So what you meant was 4 turnovers?
Or turnovers.
Turnover touchdowns. Explosive plays, one way or another. He was going to do something.
Fumbles. So here's the thing about the Packers. If you look at the schedule and who do we always bring up on this show? Who do we always bring up?
Tom Clemens.
One Andy Herman.
Yeah. Herman.
Never talked about Tom Clemens as a trio. not a one time.
That was never.
That was the joke.
Herman, my blue wire buddy. Packers are up to a 49% chance to make the playoffs per the New York Times. They control their own destiny. If they go 6-0, they are in. If they go 5-1, that's a 99% chance. 4-2, you'd be looking at a 77-96% chance, depending on who they lose to. They could still get in at 3-3 with about a 25% chance, depending on who they lose to. Now, here's the Packers.
Can I say that back to you real quick? So yeah. 3-3 is a 25% chance, but 4-2 is like an 80% chance.
Yeah.
Wow. I believe in the gambling world, that's what they refer to as a key number or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's a key number.
Three is a key number. Seven is a key number. I think those are what it is. They have the Chiefs this week. Let's say it's a loss. Let's say. And then the rest of their schedule is the Giants.
Win.
Well, hold on that. The Giants, the Panthers, the Bears, the Bucks, and the Vikings.
That's a 4-1 stretch.
So you can win all those games. Let's just throw in a loss. Let's throw in some dumb loss.
Uh-huh.
You're looking at 4-2 being very realistic. Because even if you're like one of these fans that always win loss, you know, and give a little more, we always say, what the Packers gonna be? Win loss. You always come up with 10-6, or you always come up with 11-6, or whatever.
Yeah.
The Packers are inherently better than every team they're going to play, other than Kansas City.
Yep.
Now, like, could Tommy DeVito have a thing? Could Josh Dobbs regain? Could Justin Fields run? Could Baker Mayfield figure it out? Could the Panthers be inspired with a new interim coach? All these things could happen. But the Packers, as of this moment, I believe would be favored over every team besides the Chiefs that they play. And, you know, because the Chiefs are first, maybe they lose and maybe the playoff thing gets a little watered down on it. But yeah. I think it's absolutely a possibility. I would love this team to make the playoffs, to get that experience and to get that first one out of the way so that when they're really competitive, they don't have to go through that. On the same token, I also don't want to go to San Francisco and get our ass kicked again. So I don't know. But yes, the playoffs are the number two most important sports thing in my life right now.
Grant Bills, ready to race the very.
No one's asking number one.
What's number? I didn't know if you wanted us to ask.
I left a window. What's number one, Bart?
Oh, the in-season tournament.
Why did I not? God damn it.
Yeah, that was a miss on our part.
So,
Grant, ready to embrace the real possibility of a Packers playoffs?
It sounds like I'm going to talk for minutes on it. I promise I'm not. So, I'm looking at the Packers schedule. Coming out of the Steelers game, they lost. That was November 12th. And I think we all felt really good about that game. And we're like, hey, maybe they put some things together and they finished strong down the stretch. Broke up the season from the Steelers point to the end into two chunks. There's that final five-game stretch that's pretty soft. That you talked about that, right? Giants, Buccaneers, Panthers, Vikings, Bears. But to get to that five-game stretch, the Packers needed to go through the Chargers, the Lions, and the Chiefs. And we all thought, well, if you just win one of those, if you can be in an okay spot through that three-game stretch, well, they've already won two of those three games. Which if you would have told me at the beginning of this, stretch that at worst they would go 2-1, I'd take it. So I wouldn't have even thought or mentioned the playoffs a couple weeks ago. But with these last two big wins, these were unexpected wins. I didn't think these were wins that they could get. I think the goal of finishing strong and playing their best football at the right time of the year and making a playoff run, they're kind of the same thing. Right? Like the goal of improvement and playing their best football in the last month kind of coincides with winning as many games as possible and going on a playoff run. So I think the Packers' focus and what we've wanted from them all year long aligns with the idea of them making a playoff run. So I'll say, I'll think about it, especially because the Vikings lost the other night and a couple things have gone their way. The Seahawks, Geno Smith does not look great. There are other teams in the Packers' neighborhood that are trending poorly. And the Packers, they took their lumps at the beginning of the year and were like, what is this? Everyone's young and no one knows what they're doing. But now we're seeing the good side of that coin. Now that they've figured some things out, they're able to play in a way that I think a team could only play had they grown together and built together and gone through some of those struggles. So just because of the way the schedule is structured, the way that they've won two of these three tough games before that final five-game stretch, and the way that kind of similar teams in the NFC are trending. Yeah, I'll talk about the playoffs. It's not going to be the number one thing on my mind, but I will very seriously consider it and think about it for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I want to learn from my mistake. So it's not the number one thing on your mind, Grant. What's the number one sports thing on your mind?
Craig Council going to a Bucks game. That's the number one thing on my mind.
I
love that this trio right here is so aligned on this topic. That makes me so happy.
What a prick.
Well, thankfully Sparky's on our side.
I was very confident he would be.
Rami at 9 o'clock, what did you do? Thursdays at 9 o'clock with Rami. that would be such an intolerable hour talking about this, because you'd be like, Rami, I'm so mad. And Rami, fresh out of bed, would be like, I don't know why you care, Bart. I just, I don't. And I'd be sitting at home punching air at how Rami doesn't get it. I'm glad Sparky gets it. I'm glad you guys get it.
Well, I brought the council thing up. I brought that up on CBS the other night, knowing no one gave a fuck. No one cares. It just doesn't. No one cares about NL Central manager drama. But I'm telling you, if like Joe Torre went to the Red Sox and then went to a Knicks game, he would be mauled.
Who was it? You? I think it was you the other. I think it was you. I was in Woodman's listening to a show, and they're like, "If this happened in Philly,
yeah,
where, yeah,
Philly manager goes to the Mets, goes to a Sixers game, and here we're just like, I mean,
some usher would be like, I will get fired and spill blood to be a hero that this city needs to keep this man out of the arena.
Yeah. We're just not, and again, I don't want harm or violence. That's not what I'm saying.
Of course.
We are not the sports fan base that we think we are. We are not a good in stadium fan base at any sport. We're too reactionary, we're too Agreed. Cautious of how we look. We like don't go to have fun. We go there like reserved. We won't put in season tournament shirts over the fucking I work for Johnson Electric. This is my game attire.
Dress like we're going to a fish fry in a church basement.
How many?
No,
how
can't put the shirt on.
Look around this state. Look around when you are places and count and take note of the amount of people whose best shirt is a work polo. They wear these things to weddings.
Like their employer's polo?
The polo, and then it says, you know, Steve's heating and cooling.
You need to go back and watch that last exchange on the Dan Cheney YouTube stream, because Bart's nod of a yes was like, like depressed, like yes, a
it's
work
polo. Just my God, you guys, get a fucking shirt.
Anyways, that's the number one thing on my mind. But I was enjoying the Packers conversation part, and Paul, not to
the number. It. I do have a different number one overall thing on my mind, and that's because we were all too baked and high to do a Black Friday sale at Happy Place Hemp. We do have one. Through the end of this week, promo code BORT gets you 30% off through the end of the week. Promo code BORT, B-O-R-T, when you go to happyplacehemp.com. The gummies, very chewy bowl. Tim's a big proponent of the THC-free ones. You know, they help him stay alert a little bit and focused on those grueling overnight shifts. I'm more of a fan of the ones that get me the opposite of that. And I take the ones at night very much, CBD, CBN, the purple ones to help me sleep. But yeah, through the week, because a little late, but we'll get it. Bort for 30% off this week. And we're still doing the slow build after the Green Bay season. It's 25% plus the amount of wins. So right now it would be 30 at the end of the season. We'll do another one. But if they win all these games, then it's 25 plus 11. It's a little confusing. Do playoff wins count? Huh?
Would a playoff win count?
I want to tell you the correct thing that I talked to them about.
You don't actually need to. I just, you know.
If they make the playoffs, we will absolutely juice it up. Ooh. So if you're still in draft mode, oops. But if you're still in that mode, if nothing else, root for massive savings at happyplacehemp.com.
Yeah, Paul, I'd like to go back. It is my number one thing. Never mind. The Packers making the playoffs are absolutely now my number one thing, knowing that information. Council's number two.
Nice. I will conclude the conversation of the first topic and just say a resounding mm-hmm, very much ready to embrace the possibility. But I looked back and I did ask you guys a week or two ago, like, that you'd love to see the Packers go on a run and end the season to make the playoffs, even with the likelihood of an early postseason exit. And so, Bart, like, I would just say it will not be fun on what would that be? Saturday. Let's just look. What would that be? Saturday, January 13th, I'm guessing, would be the divisional round. The Packers and Niners would get the 7 o'clock game or something. Like, it will not be
for sure.
Right. Yeah. It won't be fun to watch the Packers lose by 20 to the Niners, which is probably what will happen. Like, that will not be an enjoyable experience, but it will still be the, but it will still be the best thing. Even if, like, even if they lose, even if it's a resounding first round loss to a team like San Francisco, which the Packers have seen far too many times playoff defeats at the hands of, like, that's, this is still a great, way ahead of, in my opinion, way ahead of schedule. Okay, let me ask you this. This is way ahead of, no, this is ahead of schedule for the Packers. Like, if you were a realist, whether you're Gutekunst or Murphy or whatever, or even LaFleur to some, this is ahead of schedule. I was not planning to ask this, but if they make the playoffs.
No, I don't. I think it's right on schedule.
Really?
Well, they're, first of all, they're 5-6.
but
that's 7-4 here.
But to Grant's point earlier, though, the, we knew the final five games. Like, you had to be, you had to be in it. So when those final five games came around, you had, like, if you went 4-1 in those final five, like, that's the point you had to get to on the schedule.
No, I think because they need to know what Jordan Love is, if he's the guy for them. They need to know if these other young guys are progressing. And if we were still looking now, like we looked in week 4 or 5, that would be a massive problem. And it would probably lean more towards this is not working than there's signs of life here. So I think they're right on schedule to me. So
I think this is, Paul, if they make the playoffs, it will be because, yes, oh, good, they started to figure some things out and played better football, and it's like, all right, we have something here. But it's also because the NFC stinks. And that's that's fine. That's totally fine, right? That's not the fault of the Packers or any – that's just the state of the conference. It does not fundamentally make you – if you go 9-8 and miss the playoffs – versus 9-8 and make the playoffs, you're not a fundamentally different team, but it would be nice experience totally for a lot of these young guys. And they're probably going to have to go a little bit better than 9-8 based on what you said, but you get my point, right? It's just making the playoffs and getting to put that in the end of the season guide. It doesn't mean that you are a way better team. It means that you played your best ball at the right time and the conference sucked, and that's fine.
Well, the only thing I would say is, like, when I say ahead of schedule, well, there's a lot of ways you could take that, but I'm trying to go on Spot Track real quick to find who the biggest cap numbers are this year for the Packers. But as I struggle to find it, the answer is going to be something like Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones is going to be somewhere in the top 7 or 8. So Rodgers is not on the team. Bakhtiari hasn't played. Aaron Jones has not been good slash hasn't played. So I think what's ahead of schedule about it is, like, they knew they were going into this stretch as being, like, way underwater in terms of dead cap hits and expensive guys who aren't on the team or are not going to contribute at a high level. So I would say undoubtedly it's ahead of schedule, but nevertheless. All right. Of all the current Packers wide receivers, the one who will be the best among them in 3 years is Jaden Reed. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Well, Watson had a nice game.
Let me answer the question first because I was debating who to go with. I'm going with Christian Watson. So mm-mm on Jaden Reed. I gave him that because I thought that would be the most popular answer. I still think it probably is. I can't get past the unbelievable potential that Watson has. I'm going to think it pans out. So I'm going to say mm-mm to Watson. I'm going to say Watson. So I'm going to put my vote out there. I can't get past this 6'4" dude who runs like he does. I think he'll figure out the rest. I think the upside is too great. I'm going with Watson, but sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to at least throw it out there that if you both say Reed, there is some dissension among us, but go ahead.
Well, Wicks could have potential.
I like Wicks a lot. Dobbs is your surefire. Like, he's not going to, Dobbs has already not failed as a draft pick. He will.
James Jones. That's always my comp when I watch Dobbs. Like, oh, okay, yep. James Jones.
Yep.
So he can be James Jones, and Reed can be Driver, and Watson can be Jennings or something like that.
Except Watson is like...
Well, right, but in terms of production value, production.
I Watson's Jordy, but yeah.
I think I might be with you.
Yeah?
I think it's the safer bet, and They finally were running Watson. Like, Watson is not MVS. Okay.
Right.
So just stop. Like, for weeks, all we were doing was throwing it deep to him. Oh. Run a fucking route.
Yeah.
Run some slants. Mm. Get him the ball and see what he can do. I mean, don't just be like, I don't know. They haven't been using him right.
Player fast, player run far. I throw far. Like, that's what it was with MVS. Just throwing bodies. God,
MVS. If he, I swear, if he fucking scores on Sunday, because hey, if he fucking scores on Sunday, I will bet whatever left of my cock that he does a fake Lambo leap.
Wow. Betting betting the rest of the Wiener Schnitzel on a fake Lambo leap is one bold proclamation.
Like a fake Lambo leap, like mellow, like fake the shot, and it's like, ah, never mind.
Yeah, he'll be like, okay.
Do you need like odds? Like, you're just gonna say straight up, if he does it, you get to keep what's left. And if he doesn't do it, like then it's gone.
You know the phrase "shower, not a grower."
No,
it did not exist before I came on the scene.
I was gonna say that's fucking backwards.
Oh, prop comedy. I have another stadium to clear off on my stadium sheet. Because I went to Pittsburgh.
Does the sheet say Acrisure Stadium or does it say Heinz Field?
No, it says Heinz Field.
You'll never go to Heinz Field.
Yeah.
I never will. Now, I've been to Soldier Field, but not for a Bears game. Does that count?
What'd you go for?
Soccer.
Yep.
Oh, that counts.
And I've been to Raymond James, but not for a Buccaneers game.
Was that like a Badgers Rose
Bowl? No, that was 1996 Tampa Bay Mutiny.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
XFL?
MLS.
Oh.
And I'm going to give you the ultimate in prop comedy.
The ultimate. This available on the Dan Cheney YouTube stream.
Yes. Guys. This piece of merchandise is from 1996. Tampa Bay Mutiny foam finger.
Wow.
Wow. You have a lot of stuff in that basement.
You know what? Especially it's all readily accessible. Like, that's what I think is most impressive, that you can go find it like within a matter of
seconds. I know exactly where it is. Just in case the finger. My parents, it's dirty. My parents have moved. They moved from Fond du Lac to Florida. And then they lived in a city for a year and then moved to a different city. So they've moved multiple times. And in Fond du Lac, they had moved from house to apartment to new house. So they moved multiple times. But every like Christmas, or sometimes there's a random box on my steps, it's mail from my parents of like knickknacks and collectibles from my youth.
Yeah.
Cool.
A slow trickle stream. And I said, how do you still have this shit? Either give it to me all or throw it away. Like, last time I got a fucking like chicken McNugget transformer from 1987.
That's awesome though.
Like, get rid of it.
No, if you don't want it, you can send it to me.
I have to show you what my grandma sent me.
A pie?
If we're going to do this.
Go
Mutiny. The Mutiny were my favorite team.
My grandma in Arizona sent me this.
No way!
Now it sits on my bookshelf.
That's a Paige Sporanic bobblehead.
It is.
Did she send it like in jest? Or like, oh, sweet Grant, I know you're a Brewers fan.
I think we lost the point of what's serious and what isn't with Paige Speronic a long time ago.
Like, nobody quite knows.
Nobody quite knows.
For her not to go on your show, what a blunder.
Well, if she comes back to the ballpark next summer, I'm going to go aim for in-person sit-down in the concourse. Oh. Two cameras set up, edited up. That would be...
Well, you can hire me free of charge for that, friend.
I would need a videographer. I'm striking out big with guests recently. Chris Collinsworth wouldn't do Bill's show this week, and I want to be able to tell Bill that I guess who I got for you and then say it's a great moment. But I can't. I can't. I've gotten so close a couple times, and I can't do it.
Were you going to have Bill ask Chris Collinsworth about the pass rush?
The pass rush.
The pass.
We should have. I honestly, if I could get Chris Collinsworth, because he's going to be at Lambeau this weekend, I would have asked him, did you watch Jason Garrett?
Get Jason Garrett.
It would be like, that'd be pretty funny. But the thing is.
I hope you guys have a wonderful Thursday as the sun sets on this wonderful afternoon, on this wonderful evening.
Pretty nice. Pretty nice, huh? I had a good time with Jason Garrett. We were talking about Jaden Reed.
We were talking about the current Packers wide receiver who you think will be the best.
I want to know more about Jason Garrett. You said you had a comp for him.
Well, I just think, okay.
Let's hear the Jason Garrett take, and then
nobody came here to break down wide receivers.
I thought Jason Garrett was fine. It was all something that we got to talk about on Twitter, and then I see grown men like Bill Simmons, who've accomplished so much in life, or Bill Simmons. Did I say Ben Simmons? Bill Simmons, who's accomplished so much in life and is tweeting like a child, like, this guy fucking sucks. He's awful. Oh my God. It's like, he's fine. He's fine. I think my prediction is Jason Garrett becomes this next generation's Howie Long. I think he could have a long, long career.
What?
As the stoic kind of overly serious guy at the desk, and you need to put a jokester next to him. You need the Howie Long next to him.
But the problem is Jason Garrett thinks he's a jokester. Yeah. Jason Garrett finds himself funny.
I don't think you guys assign too much. Why am I the guy defending Jason Garrett?
Why he's are funny. You the guy defending Jason?
Every guy on TV is mostly a slap. They all take themselves way too seriously. Why are we singling out Jason Garrett? This isn't fair.
Let's talk more about how Fox has basically the same pregame show they had for the last 30 years.
Can we actually spend some time on pregame shows of the NFL? Because the cast of characters, not only have they been there for way too long.
No.
When is the last time anyone on that, whether they've been like Terry Bradshaw reading halftime highlights is fucking brutal.
It's part of it.
What were you about to say? Because I know what you're about to say, and it's gonna piss me off. You were saying, when is the last time someone on this show what were you about to say?
Has like gleaned anything of value from anything?
That's not the last time they taught you something?
That's not why they exist.
Just said something that made you either like it was genuinely funny, it was genuinely intellectual, it was genuinely interesting. Like, I don't even care what word you want to use. Like, what has
last week, because they showed this package of, okay, I just want to say this first. I'm NFL on Fox pregame through and through.
Till I die. Agreed.
Till I die.
NFL on CBS is
I
so
like
much
the NFL networks, but it seems a little like on a slower Sunday morning. ESPN, I cannot stomach.
Agreed.
Once ESPN went to like all these neon green colors, like, what the fuck are you doing? CBS, they try. It's not happening for me.
Getting better. I'll say they're getting better. Because they're losing
the NFL on Fox is tremendous. They ran this package. And then you got Gronk there now.
Okay, I have a comment on that.
Terry was doing the show last week, and he couldn't fucking talk. So they show Terry Bradshaw, like a whole compilation of him making Brock Purdy jokes about how, like, that's pretty good. And then they show Strahan's reaction, where throughout the year – he's getting more and more pissed. Like, stop doing this. And then they cut to Good Morning America from the last week, where Strahan's like, you know, I got to say, he was pretty good last night.
That's
and
good.
Terry, oh my God. It was just like guys at a bar.
First off, that's credit to the production team, not to the staff, or not to the on-air.
That was so campaigns. Good.
But Jimmy, I will say this. I want to say this real
Jimmy
quick.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. At halftime, I think it was halftime of the Packers-Lions game on Thanksgiving, and they cut to wherever the guys were. and Gronk was there. And I think Gronk is a relatively entertaining guy, but I've never been like, wow, Gronk is the future of sports media. But as he broke down for like 90 seconds of something about the actual game, I felt like Bradshaw and the other guys were looking at him like, hey, we're not here for real analysis. Just say something quippy and move on.
And they did right, by the way.
They were not right. Break down the game, Gronk. Go, Gronk was fantastic in that segment. And I love that they looked. And then, by the way, and then the kids jumped on Gronk's back and he gave him a ride around. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, like fire everyone, hire Gronk, and let Gronk rebuild this thing.
Look,
rebuild
it in Gronk's image.
This is Paul.
Bradshaw needs to be so done. That staff.
No.
Jimmy Johnson? What? Jimmy Johnson has not
said or done. Jimmy goes, they're talking about, they were having a really lighthearted conversation about the NFL. And Jimmy just goes, Brandon Staley needs to be fired. And Strahan's like, whoa, what? Oh, guys, I was ROTFL.
I genuinely, Grant, I want you to say what you're going to say because you're about to like be dismissive of what I just said.
No, but, like, you're all good.
These, I'm convinced they don't watch the games. Like I think we watch substantially more football than the hosts of these pregame
shows.
Like,
do you think inside the NBA?
There's no way they're watching football. There's no way they're watching the football game.
Do you think those guys are grinding Hornets Hawks on a random Tuesday night? You think Barkley? No, that's not the point of inside the NBA. Just like it's not the point of Fox NFL Sunday.
But there's all. Do not compare anything to inside the NBA, because they are they have.
They're copying the NFL on Fox's lead.
I'm sorry. Inside the NBA.
That's a take. Paul wasn't ready for
reactions. It's back. I'm dying.
He's on mute.
Thank God.
Look. You always want cogent analysis and detailed breakdown. And for that, I would say
or a conversation between two people who are saying something of value, not like, and here's my 40 seconds of what I have to say, and I'm gonna go to you for 40 seconds of what you have to say. And
none of it is literally every TV show.
Well, you know how TV works. That's TV.
That's not how it has to be. Just because of the way it has been done does not mean that we need to be in the, like, that's a piss poor reason to say, like, well, it's fine.
You're trying to pack a whole week of storylines in 60 minutes.
Here is what the Fox pregame show is for. Okay, this is what it's for. It's for Terry Bradshaw to be Terry, and it's for Howie and Michael Strahan to just laugh, and Kurt Menefee needs to get the train back on the tracks. And it's for the tease going into halftime. They always do something funny. That's fun.
No, they do something that attempts at humor. They do something that attempts at humor.
Yeah, but because it's not too serious, it's funny. That's the point, Paul. And then twice a year, the guys go stand on an aircraft carrier and they thank our troops. That's what the show is for. They can accomplish that every year, every Sunday.
Big pile of nothing.
Also, can we talk about the rise and fall of Tony Gonzalez? I always thought he was going to take over one of the chairs on the Fox pregame show. I thought he was very good when he was on. And now he's like fourth chair. I think he is under the table, but he's on Amazon. And half of the time the lights don't even work. And they got him with Andrew Whitworth, who won't even he's got to wear a hoodie to show how hip he is. Like, I'm the next generation of player media. What happened to Tony Gonzalez? I thought, what? Yeah, I thought he was good.
Tony Gonzalez is a perfect like CBS pregame show guy because it's just so dull. There's nothing of excitement that he's going to say or has said.
I work at CBS, kind of.
But do you have this? Yeah, sorry. The whole CBS
one
show.
One time I asked, I was like, Ryan Hickey was doing the show with me. I go, on air, I'm like, is J.J. Watt like our colleague? And he's like, I don't know. I go, because I need to rip on him, and I don't know if I – and then I did.
On the national
show. What has that ever stopped you from ripping on a colleague at any place you've ever been employed?
Well, as you know, I regret some of that.
Oh, also, one thing about the NBC broadcast, because this is where we started. There's too many people. I mean, Jesus H. They do picks, and it's like hot potato with 13 people. And it's all so polished. Like, it goes to Florio, and Florio delivers his, like,
monologue. The tease when it's Maria and Dungy and Maria left for NBC. What did they do? What'd she do Monday through Saturday?
I don't know. Where is she? Well, Olympics.
She was headlining the NBA coverage on ESPN. Then she's never on TV no more.
Cash Money Records working 99 into 2000.
There's too many people in it.
She got paid. She took the money.
We have the desk, and then we have the side desk with Florio and Barry. So, let me go to the stadium.
Oh, yeah. Barry got over there.
And well, NBC's like, we pay all these people to work for us in the football world, so we're going to stick them all in this broadcast somewhere.
So let's just underscore this then. You're okay with
Steve Kornacki.
You're okay with these pregame shows being objectively bad because they serve a singular purpose of being bad, and that's fine. That
no one requires the pregame show. You just are like, shit, the game's coming out. Oh, it's only 11:20. I just fucking turn on the pregame show, I guess. It's a massive inventory that they have to have programming. That's why Fox added another hour. They got a whole different kickoff show with, like, I think Carissa Thompson's on that one and Michael Vick and shit.
Carissa Thompson, she claimed to be on that show. I don't know if the reporting on that is accurate or whether
Oh, my God. This is a pro Carissa Thompson podcast.
Well, this is really pro CT.
Unbelievable.
CTE.
All right.
We are Carissa Thompson enthusiasts. CTE.
Okay, wait. Are we gonna talk about the Chandler Jones video?
What did he say?
I mean, he didn't.
What did he do? I didn't see it.
He didn't say anything. But like, I don't even want to make light of it. But like,
well, you brought it up on the Bart Winkler podcast, so
next is it's 2 minutes of something that I think curious sports fans would want to watch.
Is he struggling?
He's struggling. And it's just a bizarre scene. And so we'll tie that back into saying, in conclusion, the Packers' best wide receiver in 3 years will be one vote for Watson for me. I think Bart voted Watson.
I did. He did. I will give a little bit of a creative answer. If it's not Christian Watson, then the best wide receiver, the number one wide receiver of 2 years from now is not on the roster.
That
would be my answer, because I think in 2 years, the Packers will look around and say, do we have our number one? And if not, they'll do the AJ Brown. I would hope the AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs thing, where it's like, we've built a really nice base and we like our foundation, but we need our guy. And if that guy's not on the roster, and I don't think that guy can be on the roster right now, unless it's Christian Watson. So it's either Watson or it's an outside addition. That will be my spin on this question.
Reed's ceiling is not that of a number one.
I think he can be really, really good, but I don't know if he can be the number one wide receiver on a team that contends for a title, which has to be the question about Gary. That has to be the question about Jair if he's here for the longer. Like, every premium position, that needs to be the question. You know,
Before I leave, I would just say I did find the spot track information on the Packers' biggest cap hits this year. Aaron Rodgers is taking up more than 1/6. He's taking up 18%, Rodgers is, of this year's cap team. So when I say the Packers are ahead of schedule, no matter what, it's that 18% of their cap is going to a guy not on the roster. By the way, taking up 10% of the cap is David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So 28% of the cap this year, 28% is Rodgers and Bakhtiari. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like the next highest is Jair at 4%.
Also, I think Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit. I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. I know this has been an anti-Matt LaFleur podcast.
I have to leave. And so I want you guys to maybe answer this question once I leave.
Yeah, I got 5 minutes.
Bart took himself off camera. Explain.
No, I'm here for Matt LaFleur, Joy.
Just wait. Explain the Packers' Thanksgiving win over Detroit. Explain it. Like, how would you, if you were like telling the story?
Detroit
like,
went for it on fourth down too many times.
So you're just gonna say because the Lions were 0-for-5 on fourth? Like I'm still trying to wrap my head around like how do I explain that?
Well, I want to give credit to Jordan Love.
I gotta go. I'm excited to hear this on the pod. Bye, guys. Please answer that question. I'm sorry, I have to run.
No, you're good. Nice to see you.
Goodbye, Bart.
Bye, Paul.
Bye.
Love that guy. There he goes. Paul and me.
I don't believe our friendship was tested, but it did get pretty chippy. I was being a real D. We were just talking about wrestling, and I was really excited. And even though Paul and I both kind of feel the same way about CM Punk, like, oh, this shit again.
Yeah.
It was so exciting to see him. And then I just told him AEW's awful. And he said it's for hardcore wrestlers. And I said, fuck you. Don't say that. That's a dumb – that doesn't exist.
So you don't think – just to do justice to Paul, because I feel like he's moved on now and his dying wish was that we answer this question. You don't think Matt LaFleur deserves – I will talk
I
about
– You know I do. Sorry. I do think Matt LaFleur deserves credit. I think that he's done a pretty nice job these last couple of weeks. He seems to be more confident in his quarterback, which I wish he was the entire time. This whole thing I rallied against about you can't have young guys grow up together in this sport. The last couple of weeks, that has been working, and that's led to a lot of fun. I will find ways to criticize Matt LaFleur if they are available. That first shot downfield, LaFleur tried to talk Jordan Love out of taking it. The night before, they had planned to take the shot, and Matt LaFleur gets all skitty. He gets all, I'm not sure we want to do this, Jordan. And then Love's like, let's just do it. Which,
can you blame him? Like, I had a caller who's a Vikings fan the other night call my show to talk about the Packers win, and this is before the Vikings lost to the Bears. And he's like, I almost drove my car off the side of the interstate. He was driving to Thanksgiving, and he heard the deep shot to Watson, and then he heard that he caught it. And he pretty near drove his car off the highway. It is a risky play because if he drops that, like that can poison the well for a whole game or a whole season. Like I actually like we've talked about this. Like that, I think that sunk the Packers' season last year.
Yeah, that was one of the best. That's a top five grand take.
I'm like it's a little tongue in cheek, but also I would be fascinated to see how last season would have gone had Watson made that catch.
I really take a lot of stock in how impressive that first quarter was right away, that it was on Thanksgiving, that it was on national TV. And yeah, I mean, they scored 20 points. I thought they're going to score more. I thought they finished more than whatever they finished with. But
their offense is still, you know, it's still not where it needs to be ultimately. But I like when they score early because to me that tells me that they worked on something during the week. They game planned, they schemed, they scripted, and then they got to the field and were able to execute it. And it worked. And that was not what was going on earlier in the year. Like they figured it out in the third and the fourth quarter. But that was my concern about LaFleur is they were getting shut out in the first half. It's like, okay, well, those are supposed to be the good plays. Those are supposed to be the scripted ones and the ones that are practiced and really thought about. And those are the ones that aren't working. And the opening drives at the Chargers game too, that's looked a lot better. So that makes me feel better about their preparation in the middle of the week and what Matt LaFleur is preaching for sure.
All right. Quick, I'll go first. Obviously, yes. The turkey. I'm going to draft stuffing was going to be number one. Stuffing or dressing. It's a toss-up between that and mashed potatoes, but you can get mashed potatoes however you want. You can make mashed potatoes out of a bag if you want. Stuffing, you can do it in the bird, out of the bird. Yes, you can get stovetop anytime, but Thanksgiving stuffing has got to be the number one side. Snake draft to you.
So I'm tempted to take mashed potatoes here, but that's so everyone would do that. I'll go green bean casserole.
No, I like it more every year. I think it's so fucking good.
I like it more every year. It ages
every
as
year
I
it
age.
Gets better.
Oh, it's the French fried onions, and it's not really a liquid, but it's not really a solid, and it just flows so well with the rest of the plate. So I'll go some GBC, some green bean casserole, number two pick.
Snake draft. Snake around. Yeah.
Mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes. That's a massive 2-3 for me.
Yeah, so I got stuffing, and then I can't even think of another one. What, mac and cheese? I never even have that at mine.
You've never been a mac and cheese family. Gravy. You can take gravy.
Oh, I gotta take gravy, but the gravy's not a side. Gravy's a pleaser.
Well, and now we've opened up a whole nother can of worms. Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever heard of or had polenta?
Yes.
I've talked about it. Polenta, my grandma used to make it, and it was like yellow and starchy. And
it's like grits, but corn, right?
Yeah, you needed gravy. Mm-hmm. So it's like grits, but like bread. I don't know. But you needed gravy. And then my father-in-law, my late father-in-law, he knew that I liked it, so he made it for me. And it was really good, but it was like – because he got really good at cooking it in in his life.
You have to.
But he made me like the premier polenta. But I craved my grandma's shitty one, you know? It's like, you just crave your...
Is that why you tweeted that?
Huh?
Is that why you tweeted that a week or so ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Because my grandma's house, when we would go over there, it just always smelled like ham. But like, because we'd always go over there for holidays or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if we'd be there on a Sunday. She's like, you guys want a ham?
Sunday ham after church. Oh.
There was one time in my life where I worked at a grocery store. My dad's dad was the manager of the store. My mom's mom worked in the deli.
Wow. Family business.
Seeing the grandparents interact was always a treat for me. It was like Avengers team up. It's like, holy fuck, they're both here.
Wow.
It's cool.
That is cool when worlds collide.
Yeah.
Anything else? I have to go to work in not that long. Is there any like topic that Paul would disagree with us on that we can talk about? I don't think so.
Well, the NFL pregame takes, not surprising.
No, it's so Paul. And I knew exactly where he was going. I knew, when was the last time you learned something from any one of the hosts on the Fox pregame show?
Oh, when's the last time you learned something from the Bart Winkler show?
Oh my God. And God bless Paul, but you know, go watch JT O'Sullivan. Go watch his breakdown.
Yeah, that's what he wants as a pregame show. Paul, yeah. Your content that you want is available. Just not on mainstream television at 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Cause you're making a show for the Bettys and the Joes and the Davids and the, you're making a show for the dumbest contingent possible.
Yeah, the Jimmys and the Joes.
I really am upset about the council backlash to me. The people telling me to get over it. I will.
I'm sympathetic. I'm sympathetic to your situation because you don't want to tweet like someone who has almost 15,000 followers. And you have to. You just want to be able to throw stuff out there and snicker amongst your inner circle on Twitter and then go on with your life. But when you have a platform like you do, that's not the way the world works.
I also want to leave Twitter completely.
The ads are getting bad. It's kind of gross.
A lot of companies left. They'll come back. And yes, it's called X. Sorry, Matt.
He's already texting. Well, this was a treat. It always is. I'm going to go get ready for work, and I can't wait to do this next week. I always look forward to it, Bart. Thank you so, so, so very much. We'll talk again soon, as you always tell your guests.
Do I?
I don't know.
I always say, I hope to talk to you down the line, down the road.
Down the line. I like that, like Jerry Rafferty. That's good.
Does Bill do it? Because Tim Allen always did it. And I don't like the, all right, there he is. I don't like the there he is.
I've started to do that as a bit just because I listen to so much other show. I've just adopted the phrases of the people who I listen to all day.
All right, there he is.
And there he goes. Yep, there he is. All right, let's bring him in now.
There he is, Grant Bills. There he is.
Thank you. It was a treat. Continue to enjoy the in-season tournament, Bart. Talk again soon.
Let's wrap things up with some voicemails and a shout-out to Radio Joe. I believe he is going with his lovely wife to Tupelo Honey this weekend. Tupelo Honey, downtown Milwaukee. You can check out Tupelo Honey at TupeloHoneyCafe.com. You can make your reservations. They've been doing 20% off in the month of November when you make your reservation and put Bart Winkler show in there for this weekend. And for the month of December, we'll cook up something different. But thank you guys that have gone there so far. And it's really neat. It's neat that someone can come on board and see instant results. That's really cool. Now, you can continue to check them out, TupeloHoneyCafe.com, with the Southern food, the chicken and waffles, the Southern sodas. I haven't talked about that Southern soda I had. I had one that was so good. And it was like a morning where I went out with Tim Shea. I didn't have anything, like I didn't want to drink. I had the peach and pineapple porch sipper, and it was so good. And it would have been so much better with a little vodka in there. But it was like the perfect mixed drink. So when I go back, it's going to be a brunch, and I'm getting that soda with a little something in there. So check them out. Do get the banana pudding too, if you can. Joe and his wife should be sharing a plate of banana pudding. If me and Ram Dog could share one, Joe should be doing the same. TupeloHoneyCafe.com. Carl's Place voicemails. I have a couple. 402-915-BART. 402-915-BART. Actually, I think we just have one for today's show. And oh boy. Yes, sirree. Happy New Year to this man, Vincent in Anaheim. Always love to hear from Vincent in Anaheim. A little behind on the episodes. Make sure he gets them all. I'm sure I'll get a Spotify Wrapped update from him in February. And again, the voicemail line, thanks to our friends at Carl's Place, providing golf simulators, screens that, again, you can watch TV while you golf. So, like, you can do a round during a game. It's really neat stuff. I'll have to get back out there and highlight some stuff. I still have a lot of video that I took the last time I was out there that's sitting on my phone. I've got this great idea for a TikTok. Yeah. And it's just, I'll get to it. TikToks are fucking hard though. That's the problem. I don't know. TikToks, man. Part of me trying to learn and be better on social is, you know, I have a job. I work for CBS. I'm getting full-time hours right now because they don't have a full-time guy. But when they do, and I'm back to like strictly part-time. I was hoping that I could latch on with somewhere and be like, here's all the social media stuff I've done. But there's like 15-year-olds that can TikTok the shit out of me, and I'm going to be dead. I'm not going to be able to work for Sargento Cheese if I can't figure out a goddamn TikTok. I mean, if Batteries Plus said no to me, how the fuck? Here's Vincent in Anaheim.
Hey, what's up, Bart? It's Vincent in Anaheim. Just want to talk, say what's up. And I wanted to add on to the last message I left. I mean, you know, I know I'm behind. I think I just got up to October. I think it's October 29th episode. That's what I'm listening to currently right now. So I'm almost caught up. So everybody, happy Thanksgiving. I just wanted to add on, you know, I did forget to add on to, you know, how cool that you guys had your little barbecue, your little meet and greet at the Brewers game. That was pretty cool.
Jesus,
and,
Vincent.
Ball, you know, was a great cook, I heard. So that was cool, man. I wish I could have came, but, you know, I ain't flying all the way to Wisconsin. I ain't got that type of money. But that was cool, man. And I'm glad that you feel the same way about the whole college football expansion bullshit. My Pac-12, my beloved Pac-10 in Pac-12 is dead. It's gone. It's gonna die. I'm a Cal guy. I like Cal, you know, Cal Berkeley, but they, you know, we're home with Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff, all right? Super Bowl quarterback. But, man, so I feel the same way, man. I'm glad that you and even Toby agreed the same thing, man. This whole expansion is stupid to me. USC and UCLA could have been kings of the West Coast, you know. But now they want to try and fight against, you know, the Ohio States and all that shit, Michigans and all that. So we'll see what happens. And also, man, today is November 27th, and I saw, I'm an NHL guy, kind of. I saw Matt in the Falls, Minnesota Wild, man, fired their coach and all that, man. So I wanted to hear Matt in the Falls take, if he does. I mean, I know they were like 5-10 or something like that, so they're like ninth place. But, you know, the season's still kind of young, so I wanted to hear his little take on that, if possible. As for me, I'm an Anaheim Duck and a Washington Capitals guy, so shout out to Toby. So both of my NHL teams have won Stanley Cup. Yes, yes. But anyway, man, I just want to say what's up. And then on October 2nd episode, man, you were being sincere about saying thank you to all the listeners, man. Hey, man, I want to thank you, Bart, for continuing to entertain us with great sports talk. Hell yeah, all sports. And I thank you for taking the time out of your life and doing your thing. I know you should be getting a radio show. You should be getting a real, you know, permanent job, whatever, man. But the weekly verse and the part weekly podcast, man, thank you so much for taking the time for doing it. And keep your head up, man. And, man, you know, we'll see what happens next year, man. But, hey, man, you still got a fan of me. Do your thing. And I heard you on CBS Sports Radio on Friday, man, Black Friday. I heard you. I think they were replaying your slot or something like that. But I heard you on the radio, so it's all good, Bart, man. You got love out here. Vincent and Anna.
Oh, all right. I think he got cut off on the 3 minutes, but certainly a good meaty voicemail from Vincent. And I do appreciate hearing from him, as you know. Couple of things just to wrap up today's episode. We'll be live again Thursday night after Bucks Bulls. I will be from the Odyssey corporate headquarters in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we will also be watching the Cowboys Seahawks game while we do that for playoff seeding. Packers need to jump some of these teams, baby. Got the Chiefs coming to town. Excited for that. Quick NFL note. Obviously, Rodgers is in the news. He's practicing. Matt on Twitter asked if it was going to make me mad. My response was, I'm past the point. Everything's going to make me mad. Every outcome to this story makes me mad. Whether he returns and is like beats modern medicine, which the irony, that will make me mad. If he doesn't come back, and this was all just some thing to hype up, that will make me mad. The attention that's going to be put on this guy returning for a 4-10 Jets team is going to be way overblown. That will make me mad. Like Rodgers, every outcome will make me mad. This is a me problem, sure, but every outcome will make me mad. There's nothing that can happen that'll satisfy me. Even if he goes away and finally does what I want him to do, go away, I'm sure that will make me mad. He broke me. He did. He broke me. I dislike him so much. I dislike the whole thing. I dislike the circus around him. Some of it, not his fault. A lot of it, he fostered this culture where Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, whoever, can put up a tweet and the engagement just for a guy coming to practice, throw a few balls. And they're going to suck. The Jets suck. So I don't know, man. Did he really hurt his Achilles? I think it's what's more likely, that the injury got embellished a little bit, or that this guy is practicing 79 days after he snapped his Achilles? You know the answer to that. What's more likely, that we went to the moon and then never went back, or that it was filmed on a soundstage? I'm not a moon landing truther, but I do. Never mind. And then Milwaukee Pro Soccer. People are asking me what's up with the delay. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We'll be back tomorrow with the live show. Have a good one.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.